The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on 95.1 FM, 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I just sent you a picture on the Twitter of this fish that I saw.
All right.
And if you look at it...
I don't want to look at it, do I?
It's kind of strange, though. If you look at it, it actually has a face. And I'll show Laura because she's not on.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
Eloise, I mean.
Yeah.
Look at that fish. It's quite otherworldly. Look, it has a face. It has eyes, it has a nose, and it has, something down below.
Yeah, it's a skate.
Yeah, but it also, if you look at a stingray, they're very similar.
Very, very similar to a stingray.
Yeah.
Anyway, we didn't eat him, but I thought it was kind of otherworldly. It's
like an alien.
Or an angel.
Yeah.
So imagine if you're swimming around and you find him.
Yep. I've had a message from Chandra Sharma.
Oh, hello.
He says, good afternoon, Paul. We're encouraging everyone to check their first aid boxes. And we're doing that for two reasons. One, that you have the correct items in there. And two, that the items within the first aid boxes are still within date. Because some of them have a sell-by date, obviously. To help, we have some special prices on first aid kits and their contents. If you'd like to check them out, go to our website, which is elmcroftbusiness.co.uk. Or you can email Chandra at Chandra, C-H-A-N-D-R-A. At elmcroftbusiness.co.uk. So check it out, elmcroftbusiness.co.uk. Check your first aid boxes, are up to date and fully stocked.
My home one is, it's got lots of sort of tea tree oils and all sorts of things.
Yeah, because that's really important for first aid, isn't it?
Well,
I cut my finger off and I go, oh, where's my tea tree?
Yeah, well, you know, you don't want to get an infection, do you? Tea tree. Bandages, of course.
Yeah, plasters. A bandage or a plaster's no use.
We get through a lot of plasters in our kitchen.
And you cut yourself a lot?
Yeah, those blue ones I like.
Do you? What do you mean you like them?
Well, I just think they're nice.
Okay.
You know, if you're going to wear a plaster, wear a blue one.
Right.
We have a KBS...
I took the top off my finger a few weeks ago. I caught it in the dishwasher. I slammed the dishwasher door and it took the top of my finger off.
Well,
caught the blood. Was unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
Blood?
Yeah.
Oh, so you really did.
Did take the top of my finger off.
Have you sewn it back on?
Yeah, of course.
Hold it up. Let's have a look. Let's have a look.
Oh, I can't remember which one that one.
Oh, it looks quite normal. Did you have to have stitches?
Yeah, I did them myself. No, I did. I did them myself.
Oh, that's ghastly.
I did them myself. I got those dissolving sutures.
Did you?
I've got in my first aid kit, I don't have rubbish like tea tree oil. I have useful things like dissolving sutures. Yeah.
You do it yourself?
Yeah. You stick them on.
Oh.
Have you not seen them?
Well, those little white things.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the back of an envelope, really, isn't it?
Yeah. So I had three of those to stitch my finger back.
Well, funny you should say that about your finger, because I was reading, because the new husband, like, we can't afford to put the heating on now, because you know what it was like last year. We've got three boilers in our house.
Yeah.
So we decided the other day.
I'm not saying that. You see, you knew what I was going to say there, didn't you, Eloise?
So she's part of the family now.
Yeah, she is. She knew. She can read my mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I purchased an electric blanket for the first time ever last year. So we've got our wood burner in the lounge. That's lovely. But we can't afford to turn all the way. We've got an indoor pool. Can't afford to heat that now. So that just chugs away. Anyway, so what we did the other night, we were cold and we didn't light the wood burner and it was too late to light it. So new husband said, we'll go down to bed and read because our bedroom's downstairs. And I put the old electric blanket on and we tuck up at 9 p.m. and we read. It's like Victorian times. We need those fingerless gloves because your fingers get very
cold. They didn't have electric blankets in Victorian times. Don't tell fibs.
No, they didn't. No, they had bed warmers, didn't they? Those pans.
A big pan.
And put coals in it.
My nan's house, Shepherd's Bush, had those fire baskets things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, fireplaces.
And you take the basket to your
bedroom? No, you just light a fire in a bedroom.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. My old house in Winstall had a fire in the bedroom.
What do they call those fireplaces? The little round Victorian ones, duck's nest fireplace. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, or copper bedpan. Mm. The beach I was at, I asked the new husband while we had the break, and it's Cafe on the Beach at Hythe.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend it when you go and see your grandparents, Eloise, because salt beef sandwich was great. They had bread and butter pudding.
Didn't they?
With custard, which I had.
Oh, lovely.
A very, very nice menu and a tiny kitchen of which the coffee machine takes up half of it. And I said to her, I was chatting to her and I said, you know, for such a small kitchen, your menu is, you know, full English breakfast.
What's it called again?
Cafe on the Beach.
Right, okay.
Does what it says. It was very nice. And they'd done everything. Like they had, they had cushions and blankets outside so you could sit outside. And I was saying, why don't we have that in Whitstable? Because Whitstable's got a bit she-she and we don't have anything like that really now.
Mm. Well, you used to have that cafe place opposite JoJo's. What was that called?
Yeah, Seaview.
Yeah, is that still there?
It's still there, but it just hasn't got that vibe. It's a bit rough and they've got notices all over the window since COVID, you know. Do this, wear masks, do that. And they've never taken them down. It's just, it's tacky. Hope they're not listening. I do go there for liver
maybe
and bacon.
Maybe we ought to take them over.
I would love to take them over.
I would take them over and do salt beef sandwiches on sourdough.
Exactly. I'd give it a good scrub and I'd open it at night and put little candles on the table and, you know, little tablecloths and make it a bistro at night. And I've got lots of ideas, but I'm a bit old now. I want to go and live in Zanzibar, really.
You want to go and live in Zanzibar?
Yeah, that's my plan. Okay.
Well, you would. That's a natural thing.
We could do a radio show.
That's a natural thing you want to do at that age, isn't it? I think I'll go to Zanzibar.
Zanzibar.
Yeah, which doesn't even exist anymore, as it happens.
It is Zanzibar, actually.
Is it?
I keep having this argument.
Yeah,
I've asked a new husband. I've checked.
Yeah.
It's Zanzibar.
Is it?
Yeah.
What country is it in?
The one across the bridge.
Yeah, Tanzania. Yeah.
I do need some lion's mane more. Lion's mane, because my brain is just...
Isn't that an ice lolly?
Lion's
mane. I know, that's Lion's mane.
Lion's mane. Yeah.
Anyway, listen, I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to Eloise.
I'd like to speak to Eloise.
Yeah, we all want to speak to Eloise.
Flowersbyeg.com.
Because she's been incredibly patient, sat there waiting.
She had her head in her hands at
times. Yeah, I know. I don't blame her. She was crying. She was crying gently when, about what was going on here.
At times, I pulled her back.
Yeah, I thought it was supposed to be a business program, not a shambles. Yeah. Anyway, let's get it back on track by introducing properly. Eloise Heslerstot of Flowers by EG. Eloise, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You've got a fabulous name.
Thank you.
Even Eloise is spelt slightly avant-garde, isn't it, with a double L?
It's a couple of extra letters.
Yeah.
You know, as a kid, you're never getting your name on a pen or a cup or anything like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, of course. Right. No,
never happened.
My daughter's Sydney, and when she goes to Australia, she buys up the whole town, you know.
Yeah, makes sense.
Tea towels and cups.
Yeah.
And,
but yeah, never got
it. Yeah, that's true. You could never do that unless you had it fully printed.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Cool. Was there a reason for that? Your mum and dad couldn't spell, or
no? I think she just
liked it.
Well, I think she just wanted to stand out and make my life a bit difficult, really.
Anyway, cool. Yeah, that's a lovely name. So, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Start off though, Eloise, by telling us a little bit about you. We'll know a little bit about you, a bit about your background.
And especially, how did you get into Florida?
No. Before we do, that's the next bit. We'll get that into the next bit. First and foremost, I want to know about Eloise.
Oh, I don't know. I suppose, yes. So I've been in Kent for, maybe about 9 years now. I've been living in Kent
for
about 9 years. Originally from Essex. We moved
from
down.
Essex.
Yeah. Oh, we got two Essex women in there. Oh, no.
Loughton.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm Chelmsford.
Oh, okay. Not too far. Yeah. So we moved down to Kent about sort of 9, 10 years ago. I moved down originally and was going to go to university.
Kent University?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then that sort of just didn't, I'll go into that later, but that didn't happen. But yeah, I've been here sort of ever since.
Right.
I don't really know what you want to know, really, Paul. But
Anyway, so how did you get into floristry? So were you always playing with plants when you grew up?
No. So as I mentioned, when I moved to Kent, I'd always done sort of design and art and elements at school. And
so you were artsy?
I'm not more of an academic, creative. More of a creative, 100%.
And what were you going to study had you gone to uni?
So I'd got in, I was going to UCA in Canterbury.
Yeah.
Was going to do graphic design.
Great.
Had done all of that at A-levels
right.
School. So I had that that eye for it, as you would. And then I just got there about 6 months in and I was like, I just don't like this. So I dropped out.
Was it not hands-on enough for you?
It was, but I just, you know, when you just know that something's not right. Mm. And I just thought, I'm not going to get myself in a lot of debt for something that I'm not crazy about. Mm. A little bit like Laura mentioned earlier, you know. Yeah.
That was quite astute because University of the Creative Arts, UCA, actually shut down in Canterbury as well.
Yeah, I know. I saw that recently.
Has it shut down?
Yeah.
Ages ago. Campus,
really? It's
gone.
Did it move to Rochester or something?
No.
They've got a few, haven't they?
UCA had three campuses. Their main campus is in Surrey.
Farnham.
And then they had one in Maidstone and one in Canterbury.
Yeah.
And they shut Canterbury first and then they shut Maidstone and now it's just Farnham.
Yeah. Anyway, so we went there, pulled out about 6 months later. Mum and Dad weren't overly pleased, as you can imagine. But I got a local job and was just working in retail just to earn some money.
So was that why you came to Kent? Did you come to Kent to go to the university?
Well, my parents moved. Anyway,
oh, right, okay.
So sort of, I suppose my bedroom was moving at the time.
Right.
So then I went to uni and then it sort of all fell into place. But sadly, I, you know, didn't enjoy it, so I dropped out. And then I had to go and get a job rather quickly.
And where did you work in retail?
Just over the outlet, actually, which isn't too far from here.
Yeah. Okay.
So not too far, just in a, you know, just to earn a bit of money, just whilst I sort of worked out what I wanted to properly do. Mm. And then I was in town in Ashford, and I was just sort of, I think we were just in town one day with my parents or something. And then I saw a florist and I thought, I wonder if I could go in or I could, you know, you don't really know, do you? I sort of went in and I asked if I could volunteer because I still had this creative sort of flair, I suppose.
Yeah.
So you fancied this idea of learning floristry?
Yeah, I thought, why not? I'm very much the person that I'll say, yeah, give everything a go. Yeah.
Sure.
Whether it always works out for me sometimes, I don't know. I always think, yeah, give everything a go.
Yeah.
And I went in, I did my first day.
So the person there just said, yes, come
they
and
said,
do...
They said, yeah, come. Obviously, you're going to say yes, aren't you?
Wow.
Come
on in. Because you offered to work for free.
Yeah, free labour, come on in. And honestly, I fell in love with it. Day one, and I was just in awe of watching all these other girls work and, you know, so much different things going on.
Can you put your finger on what it was that attracted you? Was it the flowers themselves? Was it the artistic creativity? A bit of a combination of both?
I think it was a combination of the both. Yeah. I'm not someone that's very good at sitting still and concentrating on one thing. I need to be sort of...
What's your star sign?
Cancer.
Okay.
I've known it.
So you need to be busy?
All the time. Okay. Yeah, I'm awful at sitting still. So what I liked about it is it's different all of the time. Mm. So one minute you might be making one thing, then you're changing, like you're saying, then... Mm. And it's quite a fast-paced environment as well, which really appealed to me.
Okay.
And I did. I was just in awe that something... You can take one product and turn it into something else, you know, by a natural skill set.
Sure, yeah.
And it just... It developed from there.
So the it was a shop you were working in, and it was a florist shop.
Yep.
It was a fairly standard florist shop where they're making up bouquets.
Were a sort of your everyday shop. So they would be doing sort of gift work. They'd be doing funeral work, wedding work, event work, that sort of thing. Yeah. Yeah. And then I started doing one day a week. And then I built it to 2 days a week from my days off from my retail job.
Right.
So I did a 7 day week for, I think it's about a year and a half.
Right. Okay.
Which... Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a little bit knackered by the end of it. Mm. But whilst I was doing this, I was doing an apprenticeship, so I was learning.
An apprenticeship at the florist?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So they took you on as an apprentice?
Yeah, so they would let me be, you know, but obviously I stayed working full-time in retail just to earn my money, because apprenticeships don't pay brilliantly well, do they?
If you don't mind me asking, how old were you around that time?
Oh, so this...
About 19 you would have been.
No, a bit 20? Older than that. What am I now? I'd been 21, 22.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So about 9 years ago. Yeah, that's right, isn't it? Yeah.
Right.
About 9 years ago. So I started completely from scratch.
Right.
And I think that's the best way to learn as well.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
A physical, practical trade. I think you should learn from the bottom up.
And were they teaching you in the shop or were you going to college to do a day?
Yeah, so they would teach me sort of by the bench. We call it like bench learning. Yep. Mm-hmm. So you'd stand next to someone that's qualified and they would teach you.
Just as a matter of interest, I mean, what are the kinds of things that they're teaching as you're learning this craft? What are they teaching you to do?
So they would teach you just general eyes of design. So it might be colour composition, be style of design as well. You know, obviously there's a lot of different variations where flowers can be used. So.
Absolutely. And during that apprenticeship, do they focus on the flowers themselves? You know, like this kind of flower lasts longer than that kind of flower?
And you would pick that up as well. So just through general, through general knowledge of what was coming in, say, seasonally. What would be coming in through, say, longevity. So you might have, for example, a product that would come in at the beginning of the week and still be there at the end of the week because of its lifespan, or you might have something that come in on day two but needs to be out by day three just because of how quickly it needs to be turned over.
Yeah.
And that is largely dependent on seasonal availability as well. So, but all this stuff, because I was around people that are incredibly knowledgeable, I kind of absorbed it that I didn't know.
Yeah, I get that.
And you just sort of pick it up. So the girls would train me, and it just grew from there. So I was doing 2 days a week. I completed my apprenticeship, so I gained my level one and two fairly
floristry.
Quickly. And then I just worked my way up. So then once I was qualified, the boss then took me on for a few more days, so I could drop some days at the retail job and do really what I was more interested in, what, I was more keen to do.
Sure.
And it just developed from there, and I worked my way up through the company over sort of the next few years. So then I studied again with them and did my level three. And then I think that took me to probably about, where are we? To about 2016, I worked with them till then. And then from there, I moved to just a couple of other shops. I just wanted to, I think sometimes you kind of, maybe you outgrow certain shops businesses, and it's sort of where can you keep pushing
and you need different areas. You need a slightly different experience as well. 100%, yeah. Because unless you go somewhere else, you don't know whether what they're showing you is a limited subset of what could be done. Yeah.
And due
very
to different areas
types
as well.
Of florists, aren't they? I was 100%. Talking to you off air, wasn't I, about my favourite florist and then my mum's favourite florist.
Exactly.
Different generation.
And everyone's got different styles, and different people's brands are known from different styles as well. So I worked around in a few different shops, and it got to, 2018, when I was working for a shop in Westmoreland at the time, and then that sort of finished. And then it was sort of a bit like, well, what do I do now? And I'd started doing other bits on my own, sort of. And by this point, I'd fully qualified. You know, I was quite a competent florist.
So you were doing some freelance work?
And I'd started doing my own stuff. So I started doing maybe a couple of weddings, that sort of thing, which is the stuff that I really could get my teeth into, that I was really enjoying. And then it sort of just, where are we now? So through those years, we sort of fumbled through. I'd go back, do some freelancing. As you say, you can go out and subcontract for other florists as well. It's a bit like the building trade. You can go in and work for someone just on a day or a week.
I would think certain times like Valentine's and Christmas.
Christmas is bonkers. And even wedding season as well, you can go and do the same thing. So sort of fast forward to sort of January 2020, and my business had gained enough momentum. And I thought, right, I'm going to make a stab of this on my own and really go for it. So January 2020, I did this. We had a really good year of books coming up. So we had weddings all booked for the year. And then this little thing come along in March completely swept me off my feet.
Yeah.
Did everything get cancelled?
Did get cancelled. Just put a little pin in it. And we come back to it sort of late 21, early 22. But you think how, and people say to me now, how did we get through? You know, I started the company in January 2020, so now we're only at the end of 23. So the company is really sort of properly nearly 4 years old. And two of that was COVID. When I look at it that way, we've come a really long way
in such a
short amount of time. So I suppose it's kind of where we are.
So leaving aside the COVID shenanigans and the lockdowns and all the nonsense that went with that, and the destruction of businesses that went with that, you survived, obviously.
Yeah, we got through.
Kind of give us an overview of what it is you do, because you're not a conventional florist, are you?
No. And people are always a little bit miffed, I suppose.
Sniffy about it.
We don't have a shop front. Yeah. We don't have anything like that. We don't have anything that you could just walk in, like you say, off the street and come and say hello.
So I couldn't buy her a bunch of flowers?
No.
Which I would have done if I could have done, but I couldn't, so I didn't.
Okay. That's one of the things you can buy me from Laura, I think. Like big things.
Yeah. I could buy you a wreath.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
So typically we do weddings throughout the year. We've got some brilliant relationships with venues across Kent and further afield. So we would probably do between 100 and 150 weddings a year.
Really? That many?
When you say we, have you employed anyone
yet? Yeah, I've got a team of florists.
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we're busy. We did one yesterday, actually. We had a wedding yesterday.
Where?
Winter's Barns in Canterbury.
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah, so we did a wedding yesterday. Lovely autumnal colours, really nice.
And you're doing corporate?
We do corporate work as
well. Hold on. I've got questions here.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a number of things here. And I'm intrigued by some of the things you said. So you got a staff of florists. When you don't know a business, which obviously I don't know the first thing about floristry, flowers or anything else, there's obviously a whole ecosystem around this, where there are people that work in floristry that move between shops. As you said, there are freelancers, there are designers, there is all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Blimey. How do you find, I suppose, if you're in the industry, you know where to look, yeah?
I've been very, very lucky. Most of the girls that work for me have reached out to me.
Right, okay.
I don't know if that's a good... Yeah, I'd say that's a good thing. They've come...
Yeah, no, it is. It is.
And they are amazing. Right. So we... You know, I wouldn't be where I am without them.
Yeah.
Absolutely wouldn't be where I am without them.
I'm sure there's no such thing as an average wedding, but just to humour me.
Yeah.
With a wedding, what are the kind of things you're doing? I mean, obviously we think about bridal bouquets and things like that, and maybe even table decorations.
Yeah, so tables, bridesmaids.
Right.
All your gents will have your buttonholes.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Sometimes sort of family members might wear something.
Yeah.
Mother of the brides always want something.
Yeah, all kids.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Table decorations, we might have, I don't know, there might be sort of a certain area that for the ceremony, they might want to get married in front of, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And you have the old...
every wedding is so different.
You have
I'm
old
sure.
French lavender versus English lavender, don't you, though? I was discovering. So a lot of weddings, I know a lavender grower, and a lot of people specifically ask for English lavender, but French lavender apparently is easier to work with or more common or whatever.
Oh, did you know?
Something you haven't come across?
No, I haven't been asked. Oh. I'm sure it will be asked at some point.
Okay. Yeah, it's quite upmarket.
Yeah.
French lavender versus English lavender.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So that's your weddings.
Yes.
Well, Jules kind of intimated that you do corporate stuff.
Tell us about that. So we split the business in half. So say this time of year, obviously we don't do as many weddings. They slow down.
Hmm.
So we do a lot of Christmas work, and we work with corporates. So it might be hotels, offices, restaurants, bars, that sort of thing.
So their entrances,
cafes. Yes.
Yeah.
So we will, you know, when you see sort of all the baubles, a bit like in London, you'll see them all on your trip, I'm sure. And you see all the flowers on the outside of buildings.
I'll be looking at the ULESS cameras, but I'll try and look at the baubles.
when you can.
Yeah.
So we do all of the, shop fronts. So we would go in, we can do window displays, outside, inside.
Okay.
So we was doing one last night. So we'd worked till 3 o'clock this morning.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, doing a restaurant in Bromley.
Right, okay.
So we did that.
Because window displays are hugely important, aren't they? You know, to attract
especially
customers.
Especially for the larger sort of brands uptown.
Mm.
Because they realise that a lot of people, now social media is so heavy that people travel just to have a picture taken outside or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The social media market and getting people's attention is huge, absolutely huge.
This is another silly question, and I know that it's as probably as broad as it's long, but the kind of displays that corporate people do, a lot of offices have plants now.
It's good for your staff.
Yeah, absolutely, and also a lot of organisations actually don't own the plants; they rent them in. Yeah. She rolls her eyes at that.
I'm wondering, you have to have a big van then?
Yeah.
It's in the car park. Have you not seen it?
No.
She's got a lorry in the car park. I saw it earlier.
Was it you that held me up? There was a great big lorry.
Yeah, it's all signed up with her logo and everything.
Yeah.
I was going to try and ask a question about, you know, these corporate foyers and things like that.
Yeah.
Is there a particular style of arrangement that people have? Is it flowers? Is it plants? Is it trees?
Once again, it depends on the brand.
Right.
And so some companies, we dress a finance company's office every year for Christmas.
Right.
You have a money tree.
Yeah, they do. But, yeah, so we would go in and we would brand that Christmas tree to the colours of their corporate branding.
Mm. Okay.
Other companies are a little bit more sort of fun and out there, and we might do they want more a candy cane theme for 1 year. It is, honestly, it's so different. Or others just want flowers in the foyer every week or every other week, or, you know, a permanent fixture of plants, that sort of thing.
So
different.
Okay, so if you're doing Christmas displays, is that a tree normally, a Christmas tree?
Yeah, and a lot more.
Right, okay.
A lot more. So you're talking archways on the front of the restaurant or the front of the pubs, that sort of thing.
What about fragrance? Do you ever use things like jasmine and for the archways?
Honestly, no, because it doesn't have the longevity. Mm. So these clients, typically, we start installing Christmas next week on the 1st of November.
It's like at the Ashford International, I compare a lot of award ceremonies and things like that.
Yeah.
And they have quite a lot of them at the Ashford International Hotel.
Yeah.
And from this time of year onwards, they have a tunnel effect down the hallway.
I've seen that.
Yeah. Where they have, you know, a floral display all the way down. Do you get things like that? Yeah.
We get some very odd requests, yes. Can we add flowers to things? Yeah. So typically, I always sort of say, anyone ask me anything, and I'll probably say yes, and then the girls tend to look at me and go, how are we going to do that? I just say yes and worry about it later.
If you don't mind, I want to kind of change the conversation a little bit now and look at what you... So we've talked about your creativity and the fact that you're doing these things for different clients. I want to kind of get into your business a little bit insofar as where do you get the plants from?
Holland. So everything is imported from... I suppose it looks a bit dodgy. Everything comes from Holland or Colombia.
Right.
Colombia is really good for certain flowers.
Yeah.
So we import from Colombia.
Right.
We import from Holland. We do try
do
and
do Africa at all? Because Nigeria, I think, is a big flower.
Ecuador is really good. Ecuador, Colombia, those sorts of places. I haven't had much from over there.
Okay.
Also, we try and source UK stuff where we can. We've got a big grower in Ireland that we use. We use the guys in Ireland for most products throughout the year.
I guess because flowers, like everything else, are seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have a growing time. And if you want particular things, it doesn't matter. If they don't grow in Europe, you don't buy them in Europe, you know. Mm-hmm. But also, I guess, yes, and I guess the little I know about this, because the Dutch are huge at tulips and stuff. And nowadays, are a lot of plants kind of grown in special circumstances? I'm thinking, you know,
They're so so. For example, the Dutch, they're so geared up for it. They've got the polytunnels.
Exactly.
You know, it's heat regulated. Yeah. They've got watering systems.
Yeah.
But you know, even those guys that you mentioned earlier, Jules, like they're being affected by the costs.
Yeah. Mm.
So we had a massive grower of roses about a week and a half ago. Said they're completely shutting because they can't afford to heat the tunnels.
It's so sad.
It's all the products.
Is that in Holland?
Yeah, that's in Holland. And I'm thinking, if these big brands and these big names that have been going for 20, 30, 40 years and they're struggling, what hope does that give someone, say, starting out?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just think it breaks my heart a little bit.
Do you ever go out and visit them?
Get invited out.
That must be really nice and interesting.
It's a fun couple of days. Yeah.
And you've won some awards, I believe, for such a young company, four years, basically.
Yes.
You won some awards?
So Paul mentioned earlier about the Kent Business Awards.
Yep.
So I won the Young Businesswoman of the Year Award in 21.
Brilliant.
Right.
Yeah. So I won that.
So really early on.
Yeah. Yeah, which was an amazing accolade, actually.
Did I present that to you? Was I there?
No, I don't think so.
It's 21. Mm. So I've done them all apart from one.
It would have been the one then.
It was the one I didn't do. On the day, I went down with COVID. Mm-hmm. I didn't go down with COVID. I tested positive for COVID and I couldn't go. There was nothing wrong with me, but I couldn't go.
Well, and you've had another award, you said?
Yes. Yeah, so I, throughout my, I suppose, learning journey, that sort of thing. So my first ever boss, she pushed me to compete, and I've competed at the RHS Chelsea Flower Show.
Wow.
Right, okay.
And in 2018, I won Best in Show.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so I won the only gold, yeah.
Who was, do you know who presented that? Do you remember?
Oh.
Anybody we'd know? It wasn't the Queen, was it?
The Queen was there. Wow. Yeah, yeah. So we've seen the Queen there. I've seen her there for 3 years. 3 of the years she's been there.
Now, what do you have on your entrance hall at home?
Nothing.
Nothing. Of course, she's got nothing. Yeah. She hates flowers. Yeah, she has nothing.
She's got hay fever.
She's got some plastic gnomes and a yeah.
No, I just put a picture of what I've done on someone else's and just hope that will suffice. Yeah. But yeah, so things like Chelsea massively boosted the business. So when I won, particularly, so I've got other awards from that, but when I won in 2018, it completely just snowballed.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Was, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the best marketing you could ever have, really.
Yeah, really. It's
fantastic.
And how do you, other ways you advertise or?
Honestly, I don't. Social media is massive and it's things like Instagram, Facebook are really, really big for us. I try to be on that and I try to be really real on there as well. Mm. You know how some, you never see sort of the business or the face behind the business, as it were, but I just think, oh, if they know it's me, they know what they're getting, don't they?
Yeah, so, absolutely. And I guess in a business like yours, certainly with weddings and things like that, as you say, people see a picture of someone's wedding and they go, oh, isn't that beautiful? I want that for my wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So they'll contact, you know, they may be a friend or they contact and go, who did your flowers? Flowers by EG, obviously.
Yeah. We've had it before, you know, we've got a group of girls and we've done, I think, so they're always bridesmaids for one another. We've done 4 out of the 5 of the brides of the collection of girls. So one got married, had me, and then the other 3 that were getting married chose us, and then there's one left, bless her.
I was going to ask, are you married?
No.
Okay.
No.
It's put her off. The weddings has put her off.
I was going to say. But would you do your own, or would you get someone else to do it?
Well, it's
You'd
a
be
running,
very particular,
it's,
I'm sure.
Oh, I am. Yeah. It's a running joke with the girls that work with me. They they've all said they won't do my flowers.
You're too picky.
Yeah, they just know how fussy I am. But
yeah.
Even when we ever get to that point, we'll deal with that when we come to it.
Now you're gearing up for Christmas, I guess.
Yes. So Christmas starts next week. Yep.
And so you'll be.
And when you're doing the displays, the corporate displays and the retail displays and stuff like that. Do you buy in a lot of Christmas trees or?
Hell of a lot.
Really?
So we've
mistletoe.
Sometimes, yeah.
I love a bit of mistletoe.
Yeah, it's really hard to get hold of.
Yeah, in France it's
really
easy.
High up, lots in France.
Yeah, you're very mindful. Do you do that?
No.
Many years ago I had a rather large house.
Yeah.
And every year I used to have a 20-foot Christmas tree.
Wow.
Because the house was a 3-story house with garret lounges, and so it was in the hall and it went right to the third floor, which was fantastic. Yeah. Now I don't have quite such a big house, so I've got a black plastic one.
I absolutely dislike it, I have to say.
Everybody dislikes it. My partner Amanda hates it with a vengeance.
I don't have a real tree.
She said to me the other night, we're going to get the Christmas trees out. And she said, I will let you put the black one up, but nowhere near the family area. You know, you can put it in your office.
Have a corner of shame somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you buy in a lot of Christmas trees?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have any tips on buying Christmas trees? I mean, there used to be these, they started producing these ones that don't drop their needles and stuff, but a bit forced.
I don't believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still find needles now from last Christmas.
Yeah. And I always worry about sort of pets and things like that. Sort of I worry with my dog at home and stuff.
What, with what they spray them with?
Well, I just, everything. Oh, she eats the end of it, or the bottom at least. Mm. Or, you know, the pine needles, anything like that in their feet. You just got
pine needle tea is very good for you to eat. It's a drink. Yeah, it's very, very good.
Well, it's probably in my tea, but half of Christmas, to be fair, all the spruce.
So you do all this. You don't have a shop front. So do you have a warehouse or a...
Yes. So it's based just outside of Ashford, which is a large storage.
It's a great location.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. We're pretty central. Mm. One half of it is completely devoted to Christmas at the moment. We've got like a whole wall of racking and
a load of gnomes and elves.
Yeah, anything that's
reindeer. Bully the elf, what's your favourite colour?
honestly, it is like that, especially at the moment, because we're all pulling out all the bits ready for Christmas to start next week. So there's,
cool.
I think you should give your team a mention.
Yeah, no, as I said, the girls, bless them. They were working with me till three this morning.
Their names?
So you've got Lindsay, you've got Julia, Maria, a couple of Jens. I'm sure there's many more.
And do you have any hunky men to help you load all this stuff up? Or are you doing it all yourself?
Still employing those. Still looking for those.
So. Sometimes a man does come in useful for big things, big installation.
True.
And do you have to do the lights and things as well?
We do the lights, we do all the mechanics. I'm normally there doing all the fixings as well. So I'll do all of that,
I'm thinking of shop window displays now, where they have things like trains and stuff like that. Do you ever get any?
So we probably wouldn't do that, but for example, we've got a shop we're doing in a couple of weeks, and there's a thing they're doing with Canterbury, and there's a couple of companies all coming together, and they've got a train set going in.
Right.
So they've sourced all of that, and then we're just going to work around it and sort of almost star within it, if you know. But we wouldn't. But you know, we've been asked to source sort of, you know, giant polar bears and all these things for these larger homes that we dress for sort of your more wealthier clients, shall we say. And we go up and down the country doing this. So we're off to Norwich. We've got a couple of houses in Birmingham that we go and do.
Birmingham?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Okay. Yeah, we go.
So do you charge extra for the travel, or how do you... Well, there's a long way to go.
It is, yeah. No, we charge accordingly, if we've got... Yeah. And equally, if they want it done, they want it done.
Fascinating. I love learning about businesses that I know absolutely nothing about. I just find it really interesting, and I now want to own a flower company or something.
I love the way that you decided uni wasn't what you wanted, and then you went into retail, made your money, kept yourself going, and then went and asked this one person in the shop, can I do some
work? I owe her a lot, hell of a lot.
Do you keep in touch?
We do. We still go out for lunch, and she laughs because the problems that maybe she had sort of 10 years ago, I'm moaning about now. But I've come complete circle. I think last year I finished and I got my degree in floristry, so I did get a degree
about
8 years later.
So mum and dad, mum's very happy
now. she forgave me at Chelsea, actually, funnily enough, when I won. But so I've got my degree, but it just, you know, sometimes things don't always go one way.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the worry for you as a business now, as you intimated earlier, is that those bigger growers now struggling because of energy costs, which are killing thousands of businesses everywhere because of the nonsense that people, governments are coming out with.
Well, it's flowers, it's food, it's egg producers, it's chicken producers. It's very, very scary. Yeah.
Do you have any... do you have any plans that you can share with us about where you want to see the business go? Because you're still very young, and you've got a long time in business. So
hopefully.
Well, no, you have. You're just the right kind of person, aren't you? You're just a can-do kind of person.
I'd really like to see us have a couple more sort of, like what we've got just outside of Ashford, a couple more hubs dotted up and down the country.
Right, okay,
is sort of my goal, really, and then to have a manager in each one, and I'll probably just flip between, hopefully.
Float around.
I'll just go and get some work in. It's a bit of a runny joke. I could sell most things to most people. So, right. So I could sort of go in and get the work and then have the teams to carry it out, really.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Eloise. It's been a really interesting discussion with you about the business that you're in, and I think unique. I don't think we've ever we've had conventional florists on before, but nothing like that. So very unique. After 15,
with a tree under their arm.
Is largely me.
So after 15 years, we found a unique business that we'd never found before. So thank you for sharing that with us. If people want to find out about what you do, what's your website address? How do they contact you?
So the best way to find us is probably Instagram and Facebook. So we are, our handles are Flowers by EG. And then, as Jules mentioned earlier, the website is flowersbyeg.com.
There are links to that on the radio website. They'll stay on there forever. So if you didn't write that down and you want to find out more about Flowers by EG, go to the radio website and the links are all there. Eloise, thank you so much for that. Really fascinating. We've only got a few minutes left of the show, but stay with us for that. But for the moment, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm now just thinking of the environment surrounded by flowers. I mean, that's just beautiful, isn't it? What a lovely way to start the day. The scents and the colours, beautiful. We have a Seven Oaks Business Awards, which is coming up.
I presented it last week.
Friday 20th.
Huh?
Friday the 20th.
Yeah, it was last Friday.
Are you going to read this? You should read this then, because you were there.
I was. If you read it, it's a list of who won.
But you should read this because, because you were there.
I had to announce it on the night. You do something for a change.
So the awards was held at the Bat and Ball Centre.
Yep.
The winning businesses were, in no particular order, the Heart Spa, which was won the Independent Business of the Year. Where's the Heart Spa?
Seven Oaks.
then, of course, the larger business of the year should have gone to Specsavers. And sustainability in business.
She'll kill me for this, but she'll kill me for this. Maxine Morgans, who owns the Specsaver franchise in Seven Oaks, that won the award. Yeah. She came up to get her award, but she couldn't read it because she forgot her glasses.
Oh, no.
Sorry, Max. I promised I wouldn't say anything, but she did.
Who's Cook? What's Cook?
It's a company that cook.
Is that food?
It's a food producer.
That's
yeah.
what I was asking. Sustainability in business. So Cook won that, and they are food producers of some sort.
Yeah.
Do you know them?
Yeah, I've heard of them. Yeah.
So do they make ready meals or?
Yes.
Kind of. Ready meal.
Yeah. Delivery.
They used to have a shop. They had a shop in Tenterton and a shop in Seven Oaks, but now it's what they call a dark kitchen, a bit like you really, where you have a dark forest where you don't have a shop front, but you produce stuff.
I like that.
Then the new business, which would be less than 5 years old, the TN card.
Jess Gibson. Jess has been on the show and she had a clean sweep. She won about 8 awards.
Did she?
Wow. Yeah.
And then the micro enterprise, the best that was the TN card. Yeah. There she was, Jess again. And customer choice, Leslie Warren. What does he or she do? Leslie Warren.
I can't remember.
We'll let you know. And there was also a judges award, which goes to a business or person that provides a significant contribution to economic development and local community. And this was won by Barry Dennis. And Barry is the long-serving landlord of the Anchor Pub, which is in the heart of the town centre. Over several years, he's been instrumental in many initiatives in the Seven Oaks area, even creating his own music festival in 2023. And runner-up in this category was won by a policeman.
Yeah.
I do love a policeman, as you know. Any man in uniform for me. PC Nick Hubbard, and he's been successful in dealing with mainly business crime in Seven Oaks and has become a role model for others. Lives in Letsby Avenue.
Of course he does.
And the sponsor was Manac Solicitors.
Manac Solicitors were the headline sponsors.
Well done.
The interesting thing about the Customer Choice Award is that's voted for by customers.
Okay.
And the winner got 3,000 customer votes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who the winner was again.
Leslie.
Oh, Leslie, yes.
Mm.
Well done. Well done, Leslie.
Yep. And that's fantastic. And
was it good food? Did you have dinner?
I had butternut squash risotto.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Which was okay.
Yeah. So are you vegetarian suddenly?
No. I'm on a diet, aren't I? And I couldn't eat the rest of what they had.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd be better off with meat and two veg than risotto.
Yeah, but that wasn't an option. There was a very limited option of what you could have, so I chose the butternut squash.
I do love a risotto, though. You know, because for me, again, it's slow food, just standing there with a glass of wine.
I mean, to be honest, I didn't really want to eat anything because, I'm busy. I'm busy,
comparing.
You know, comparing.
Yeah, and you don't want your mouth full.
And you don't want to spit risotto rice all over the...
Did you have pudding?
I had cheese.
Okay. Biscuits?
Yeah. There was two.
Two biscuits?
Two biscuits. Two cream crackers.
Okay. Yeah. And butter?
No, I never eat butter anyway.
Oh, I love butter.
I never eat butter. Anyway, I'm not worried about the food. I'm more worried about it was the 10th year, of the awards. And I've done all 10 years, which was brilliant, and thoroughly enjoyed it. And each year it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And there were 220 people there this time.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That sounds really good. Did I read that one, Mid?
I don't know.
I did. There's a KBS business soundbite. It's leveraging LinkedIn for international business development, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on the 16th of November. So it's a diary day. It's 1 o'clock to 2 p.m. in person, or you can do it by an online platform. And you can hear from Kent Business School's academic experts. And the also the USAID, 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 I guess it is, Economic Support for Ukraine project. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and put a slash calendar, you can find out all about that date on the 16th of November at 1 o'clock. The KBS Business Soundbite.
Yeah, it's Kent Business School at the University of Kent at Canterbury. The Sheerness Dockyard Trust AGM 2023. This year's AGM will be a chance to see inside the restored church and celebrate the completion of this epic restoration project. The church burnt down some years ago. Over a 10-year period, the Dockyard Trust rebuilt it at a cost of £9.8 million. And the AGM is taking place on Saturday the 4th of November at 6:30 until 8 p.m. at the Dockyard Church, obviously. And if you want to find out more, go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar to book a place.
Martin Reeves and the Vandellas says, great Business Bunker show. I wasn't sure if it was my kind of topics, but like Paul said, the passion and the ladies' stories of business was great to listen to. So thank you, Martin. You can follow him on Collector's Buddy on the Twitter, and he is a founder of Collector's Buddy, and he's seeking a salary to get off disability, and he fundraises for charities selling TV, film, toy and props. And you can find him on collectorsbuddy.org.uk.
Okay, we've not got very long left, so we've got to tear through some of these. So the Kent Construction Charity Ball in aid of donations with a difference is taking place on Friday the 24th of November. It's organised, as always, by the fabulous Ella Brocklebank and Cheryl Causeway. So, of course, it starts at 7 and ends in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. Because they're party animals, both of them, at the Ashford International Hotel. You can book tickets, and you can book individual tickets or for tables of 10. And the best way to do that is email them at trustees@dwad.org. It's Donations With A Difference is the charity that it's in aid of, and it's the Kent Construction Charity Ball. Have you got anything?
I have. There's networking in Mount Vineyard.
Right.
And the event welcomes local businesses. It's lunch is provided by Thackeray Williams Solicitors. You meet at the coffee truck in the car park of the Mount Vineyard. It's on the 27th of October, 10:30 till midday. And it welcomes local businesses and events to network face-to-face, offering an opportunity to build valuable business relationships while enjoying a lovely walk and talk. So that's 1 hour with lunch provided, 27th of October, 10:30 till midday. That sounds like a good one.
Terry Botfield has contacted me about the Marsh Network supporting two charities. He's supporting CARM, C-A-R-M, which is Caring All Together on Romney Marsh. They're a charity that look after people that are lonely and isolated. They support older people living in isolation on Romney Marsh and the surrounding areas. And they're also supporting the Oliver Curd Trust, who provide caravan holidays and breaks for families who've lost a child through illness or who have a seriously ill child. The Marsh Network is holding a quiz night to raise funds for the two charities. This will take place at 7:30 p.m. on Friday the 3rd of November at Lyd Golf Club. There will be a prize compiled by our wicked quiz master Alison Gordon from the Computer People. A buffet to keep you going, a charity raffle and auction on the night, and you can see all the auction items and place an advance bid by going to marshnetwork.co.uk/auction. If you'd like to provide auction prizes, they will be very welcome. You can also provide raffle prizes. Come along and join us. Teams of four are welcome at a price of £48 for a team of four, which includes the buffet. So what's not to like? So that's marshnetwork.co.uk/auction to find out the prizes, or you can email terry@botfield.net to book your place.
Or follow him on Twitter at TDBotty.
TDBotty.
Maidstone Skate Park has ramped up. It's getting a revamp.
I see what you did there. It's ramped up, yeah.
Maidstone Borough Council has worked with a group of youngsters to revamp the skate park ramps at the Green Flag award-winning Watman Park. Young people from Maidstone were invited by Maidstone Borough Council to take part in a design workshop earlier this month, where they came up with skateboarding terms and themes for the new artwork. The art session was led by local street artist Graham Upton, who taught basic techniques in how to create bespoke letters and designs. That's a great idea, isn't it, bringing them all together. Seven youngsters spent at least one day each working with Graham to bring their ideas to life on the skateboarding ramps in Watman Park, learning how to use spray paints to create large-scale designs. All four of the main ramps received colourful new artworks, giving a fresh and vibrant look to the skate park. And the project was funded by the National Safer Streets campaign and is one of several initiatives carried out this year by Maidstone Borough Council to engage young people with different art forms and creative opportunities. And you can go to maidstone.gov.uk/stayconnected to find out more and to get their latest emails and everything for services. Well done.
Fantastic.
What an initiative.
There's a coffee morning at Kenwood Trust. It's the monthly Kenwood coffee morning. It takes place on the last Thursday each month. There are cakes and savouries available. And the next one is on Thursday the 26th of October. It's 10:30 a.m. till 3 p.m. There's no need to book. You just turn up to the cafe at Kenwood Trust, Kenwood Road, Yalding, just outside Maidstone. The cafe is in the most glorious building. It's a Georgian country house. And Kenwood is a charity. It's a residential charity that looks after people with drink and drug addictions, and all the money raised from the coffee morning goes towards supporting the charity.
Brilliant.
That's it, I think.
Yeah.
Just about. Yeah. We've reached the end of another show. I want to say a huge thank you to our guests this week, Laura Dowling of Fabu Wellness over there in Dublin, but... her products are available via her website and can be bought in the UK. So fantastic interview with Laura. To the lovely Eloise Hasler-Stott of Flowers by EG, who absolutely blew me away with a business I know nothing about and now I'm really excited about, because it's really interesting.
Pansies when you go home, aren't you?
I'm going to buy pansies. Yeah. I don't think so.
Pansies is lovely. They've got lovely faces.
Me and plants don't get on. I just kill everything that comes anywhere near
I'm
me.
I'm great, to be fair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not bad.
Yeah, but yours don't have to live at the end, do they? So thank you, Eloise, for that. It was really brilliant to hear from you. Thank you so much. Really fantastic story. To my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, the lovely Jill Serkin, and her saucer story. We'll be back with another show next week. Stay healthy and happy, everybody.
Keep using saucers, that's what I say.
Keep using saucers, yeah. Don't let them grind you down. Yeah, thanks, everybody. We'll be back next week with another show. Have a safe journey, safe week, everybody, and we'll see you all soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.